Good morning, everyone. Sorry about that. Good morning, everyone. Today we are in Erevin. We're on Daf Samech. Well, actually, we're on Daf Nintes. Today's Daf in Erevin is Daf Samech, and we continue with our discussion from yesterday. We're in the fifth parak of Erevin, which means that we should be talking about Tchum. The fourth parak and the fifth parak and third parak, I shouldn't leave it out of the discussion, is dedicated to the topic of Tchum within Erevin. And so we're talking boundaries, and we're talking about how far a person can walk on Shabbos, and we're talking about moving around that boundary, making an Erev Tchum. And that's the general discussion that we've been having now for the past month in the Daf Hayomi. However, oddly, strangely enough, yesterday we started a Mishnah on Daf Nintes Amud Aleph, and it talks about an Ir Shel Yachid and an Ir Shel Rabim, and the idea that when you make your Erev Chatzeres, someone's got to be excluded from the Erev Chatzeres. Okay, the idea in of itself, which we're going to explore in just a moment, is a very interesting idea. It's a bit strange, but we'll explain in just a moment. But what is it doing over here in the fifth parak of Erevin, an issue which I didn't really raise yesterday? I'll raise it today, but I won't have a good answer. But in other words, but just be aware. In other words, sometimes, especially when you're learning Daf Yomi, especially when you are getting involved in some complicated Gemaras, which we are going to get involved in today, sometimes you just don't want to lose where you are in the entirety of the forest. So we are in the forest of Erev Tchum, and somehow one Mishnah, the fifth parak of Erevin, is now talking about Eruv Chatzeres. So what is it doing here? So I don't know. But I'm making awareness of the fact that it is oddly placed in the fifth parak of Erevin. Okay, now that we made that comment, and now that we know that we're a little bit off topic, just a little bit. I mean, still Erevin. But okay, so that's the first thing I'm going to highlight for today. What are we talking about now? As long as we're talking Erev Chatzeres, what's the issue? The issue is as follows. If you have an Ir Shel Rabim, I'll give a definition in just a second, but you have an Ir Shel Rabim. You have a public city, so basically now what can we do? So assuming that there's a wall around the entire city, we'll make one Erev for everybody. Everybody will be included in one Erev, one single Erev. Beautiful idea. I mean, talk about Jewish unity. Everyone in the community now is going to all be under the auspices of one Erev, and everybody in the community now can carry from their house to the street, from the street to another person's house. It'll be wonderful. It'll be totally beautiful. And the Mishnah says he can't do it. The Mishnah says not everyone can be included in the Erev. There has to be people excluded from the Erev. Why? So as we discussed yesterday, because if I have one city and one Erev, so what's going to end up happening are people going to forget about this whole idea of Erev and carrying and Hotzah. And so what do you mean Hotzah? I've grown up my whole life in this city, in this community. We carry on Shabbos. You want to tell me now there's a malacha called Hotzah? No such malacha. So in other words, somebody has to be excluded from the Erev, at least give somebody the idea that there's this thing called I'm not allowed to carry, and unless I make an Erev, I can carry. So some people are going to get excluded. Who's going to get excluded? So that was a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you need 50 residents to be excluded from the Erev. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, Gimel Chatzeres, they need three courtyards, each courtyard having two houses, they need to be excluded from the Erev. Okay, so in other words, exclusion. Now, I know it goes contrary to the whole idea of what Erev is and what Erev represents. Erev represents unity and combining everybody. And okay, good. I mean, all that's nice. But now we get to the legal side of learning. And okay, there needs to be an exclusion. The people need to be excluded from the Erev. We'll learn later this morning. Those that were excluded, of course, can make their own Erev. That's not going to be a problem. But in other words, they cannot take one city and make an entire Erev for the entire city. Okay, so first of all, it's going to be a very touchy issue. Very. I don't want to be part of that discussion because I agree. I also have just enough experience in life to know that won't be a pleasant conversation. The Mishnah says who needs an exclusion? Ir Shel Rabim. Ir Shel Yachid does not need an exclusion. Ir Shel Rabim does need an exclusion. Okay, those are very loose terms. What exactly does that mean? Ir Shel Yachid, Ir Shel Rabim. So as I mentioned yesterday, but just quickly to recap right now, that's a machlokus between Rashi and the Rambam in terms of what exactly the Mishnah means when it says Ir Shel Yachid, Ir Shel Rabim. Rashi, back in the Mishnah, says Ir Shel Yachid means a city with a population under 600,000. Okay, that's Ir Shel Yachid, says Rashi. And Ir Shel Rabim means a city with a population of greater than 600,000. Okay, why is that so significant to know what the city population is? So, Rashi l'shita, so Rashi is consistent with what he said earlier, because we know that Rashi says earlier that if I have a street running through town that is 60 namas wide and it goes mefulash from one end of town to the other end of town, and, says Rashi, there are 600,000 people on that street, so now that's what's called a Rishus HaRabim. And you know, you're not allowed to carry in the Rishus HaRabim. So now if I have an Irshel Rabim, now the Irshel Rabim, let's try to be clear about this. The Irshel Rabim does not have a Rishus HaRabim running through, but it's awfully close, meaning it's got 600,000 people, it's got the population, and now all you need in order for it to have a Rishus HaRabim is a main street cutting right through the middle of town. So in other words, so basically the point being is that the Irshel Rabim is like this close to being a Rishus HaRabim, so therefore the Chachamim said, you want to make an Erev over here, you need a Shir, and someone needs to be excluded. Irshel Yachin, on the other hand, we don't have 600,000 people, we're never going to be able to have the status of Rishus HaRabim, even if there's a street in the middle of town, but we don't have the numbers, so therefore no one needs to be excluded from the Erev, it's too small a town. That's what Rashi says. So again, according to Rashi, Yirshal Yachin, Yirshal Rabim, it's just a function of population. Then there's the Rambam. The Rambam says, no, he doesn't quote Rashi, but the Rambam does not agree with that definition of Yirshal Yachin, Yirshal Rabim. The Rambam says, Yirshal Yachin, Yirshal Rabim is a function of ownership, meaning Yirshal Yachin, one person owns the entire town. Okay, and I'm not just talking politically, I mean, he literally owns, he is the owner, the proprietor of the entire town. It's his town, he bought it. And and Yirshel Rabim is what we are familiar with, meaning a town where there are multiple ownerships. He owns his plot, he owns his plot. Okay, good. So in other words, according to the Rambam, every one of our cities is an Yirshel Rabim. Every one of our towns is an Yirshel Rabim. Okay. That's the discussion of Machlos, Jun, Rashi, and the Rambam in terms of what exactly these terms are. Okay, good. So you have an Irshel Rabim. Now, after all those words of introduction, now we'll start getting into the Gemara. So you have an Irshel Rabim, and now you need to leave off some people from the Eruv. So that has been our discussion. We look now back on Nun Testament Aleph. I'm going to take one step backwards, one small step backwards, and we're going to take, hopefully today, two steps forward. I'm going to start again from the Brice, the Tanur Rabbanan. We're on the bottom of Nun Testament Aleph. I know I did this yesterday, but I'm going to do this again very quickly today, because really a lot of our discussion today is going to revolve around this Brice, which the Gemara quotes. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara starts off, Irshel Yachin V'Nasa Shel Rabim. Let's say it's a converted city. It used to be an individual city, now it's a Rabim city. Rishus HaRabim Mavers Besocha. And I have a Rishus HaRabim, actual Rishus HaRabim running through the middle of the city. So how do I make an Eruv? Now, as I mentioned yesterday, we did this yesterday, but it's good review. As I mentioned yesterday, in other words, even the suggestion is nuts, ludicrous. Meaning you can't make an Eruv through a Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara is going to ask that question. The Gemara is going to respond to this. In the meantime, however, let's just see the Braisa. Kate said, Ma'arvinosa, Osalu, Lachim Mekam, Lachim Mekam, Vakar, Mekam, Vakar, Mekam, Vinosa, Vinosa, Be'emtsa. Good, so throw up a lechi on one side, a lechi on the other side, or throw up a kor on one side, throw up a kor on the other side, and you're good. And then you can carry in the middle of the street. Ve'ein ma'arvin osa lechatzayim. Ela okula, o mavui mavui bifnei atzma. You can't divide the city in half. You cannot have one half making one Eruv, one the other half making another Eruv, either one entire Eruv, or each mavui by itself. Haisa sharabim vaharehi sharabim. Let's say it's an Irshel Rabim, meaning up until that point in time, the Braisa was dealing with an Irshel Yachid, and even though it converted to an Irshel Rabim, but it does not lose its status of Irshel Yachid, so therefore we could make one error for everybody. But what if it's an Irshel Rabim? Haisa sharabim vaharehi sharabim. Ein la ela pesach echad, and it only has one entrance, Marvin is kula, then you're allowed to make an error for everybody. So in other words, we're basically now speaking out an exception, which is that even if it's an Irshel Rabim, but there's only one in and out of the Irshel Rabim, so then you don't need a shear. Okay, good. Adkan. That is the Braisa that we already saw yesterday, that we're reviewing now again today. And the Gemara is going to explain each point of the Braisa. Man Tana, we're on the top of New Testament base, we're two lines down. Montana de Mi'arvi Rishus Arabim. So first of all, making an Erev through Rishus Arabim. What's going on over here? So I'm Rav Huna Breda, Rav Yeshua, Rav Yehuda he. So the Gemara says, okay, Shitas Rav Yehuda, Detanya, yes, okay, and I'm Rav Yehuda. Mishesho, Shnei Batim, Shnei Tzidi, Rishus Arabim, Moselachim, Mikan, Velachim, Mikan, Okor, Mikan, Vekor, Mikan, Venose, Venose, and Beemtsa. So we've seen Rav Yehuda, Shitas Rav Yehuda already a number of times. We get to review it again today. And that is, he holds that two walls creates the Rishus Yachid. That's all you need. All you need is two walls. Even the walls are not connected. And they're not perpendicular. The walls are running parallel to one another. Nevertheless, according to Rav Yehuda, that is the Rishus Yachid. So in other words, even though it's a street, odd as it is, it's a street, it's a main street, and people are walking through the street, it's still a Rishus Yachid. So now that it's a Rishus Yachid, so what do? Just throw a lechi up on either side or a kor up on either side, just to let people know, hey, this is where we're going to stop carrying. But in other words, but it's a Rishus Yachid. So Amr lo, in Marvin Rishus Rabbim Bekach. Now what the Chachamim say to him is, that's not a Rishus Yachid, you're wrong. We fundamentally disagree with you in terms of what the definition of a Rishus Yachid is. We are of the position that Rishus Yachid needs three walls, not two walls. So these two walls running parallel to one another is not a Rishus Yachid. It's therefore Rishus Rabbim. And you can't make an error running through Rishus Rabbim. So the Chachamim disagree with Rav Yehuda. It is a very fundamental debate in terms of how many walls are necessary in order to create a Rishus Yachid. Anyway, but the point being is that from our perspective, meaning we don't hold like Rav Yehuda, we hold like the Chachamim, it wouldn't even be a discussion. Could you make an Erev in such a community? The answer would be no. Doesn't matter that there are houses on each side. It is a Rishus Rabbim. Amar, in ma'arvin osa lechatzayim. Okay, and now we get on to the next part of the Braisa. This is for us now new territory. We have not seen this yesterday. And we're up to step two of the Braisa, part two of the Braisa. The Braisa now describing the Ir Shel Yachid, the individual city. So it says, if you want to make an Erev for everybody, that's fine. But you can't split the city in half. Okay. Splitting the city in half, what's going on over here? So, Amar Rav Papa Lo Amru Ela La Arka. When we say that you can't split the city in half, it means lengthwise. Meaning, if we have the street cutting right through the city, you can't basically take all the houses on one side of the street and make one error for them, and all the houses on the other side of the street and make an error for them. That you can't do. Because there's no separation between those two. Aval rachva ma'arvin. But if I don't want to cut the city lengthwise, but I want to make a cross section of the city, meaning against the street, not parallel with the street, but perpendicular to the street, so that you're allowed to do. If you want to cut the city that way, you may, dividing the city now so that half the city is making one Erev and the other half is making another Erev, so that you're allowed to do, says the Gemara, that's fine. Now, before we go further in the Gemara, let me just give a couple words of introduction. Okay, you have various communities or various chatzeros. So what's the basic halacha? The basic halacha, which when we get to the sixth parak, we'll talk about obviously in depth. Right now we're in the fifth parak, and we shouldn't be talking about Erev Tchum. Sorry. We shouldn't be talking about Erev Chatzeros, but we are right now. But here's the basic halacha. I have a chatzer, and they're open one to another. They have a choice. Either they can make two separate Erevin, or they can make one joint Erev. Okay? And the option is totally up to them. They have the choice. However, what if we have the following scenario? Let's say I have a chatzer bifnei chatzer, an outer chatzer and an interior chatzer. When I say interior, I mean that in order for them to get out of their chatzer and to go out to the street, they're going to have to cut through the outer chatzer. Okay? So if I have this type of setup, an inner and outer chatzer, so what's the story? So again, there are two chatzeros, there's a doorway between them, but there really are two separate chatzeros. So one can make the very simple argument, same story. Meaning, you want to make one Eruv, great. You want to make two separate Eruvin, also great. Not a problem. Okay, that's one way that we could say it. That's one way we could view it. In fact, that's the Shita of the Chachamim. Along comes Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says, not so fast. The interior Chatzar, they want to be independent, that's fine. They want to join the outer Chatzar, that's fine. In other words, their option is totally up to them. But the exterior Chatzar, says Rabbi Akiva, Meaning, they can't ignore the interior chatzer. Why can't they ignore the interior chatzer? Because every single time the interior people of the interior chatzer want to go out, they're going to have to walk through the outer chatzer. So that's what's called regel, meaning it's a necessary walkway that the interior chatzar has. They're landlocked. The only way they can get out is walking out through the outer chatzar. So Rabbi Akiva says, you know what that makes them? That makes them residents of the outer chatzar. The fact that they have to walk through the outer chatzar makes them residents. Says Rabbi Akiva, if you, the outer chatzar, want to make an eruv, you have to include the inner chatzar. If you don't include the inner chatzar, so then your eruv is not good. Okay, that's Shita's Rabbi Akiva. Which, again, when we get to the sixth parak, we'll talk about this in much greater depth.
Why is the cross-section of the road?
You're right. Just wait 1 second. We're gonna set ourselves up. Good. So now let's take stock on what we're discussing right now. We're discussing a city, right? One large city. But in the context of the Braisa, it's an Irsha Yachid. Okay, so I don't need a shear. But anyway, it's okay. It's one city. And if I want to cut it crosswise, not lengthwise, if I want to cut it crosswise, I may. And each section now can make their own individual eruv. And basically now what the Gemara is going to wonder out loud is, well, would Rabbi Akiva be okay with that? Meaning, doesn't Rabbi Akiva say that if you necessarily need to walk through somebody else's chatzer, you are considered a resident of that other person's chatzer? And so therefore, even if I'm cutting the city crosswise, basically aren't, according to Rabbi Akiva, don't they still need one another's approval? That's basically going to be the Gemara's question.
Would you extend that to it, even if not chatzer within another chatzer, but just somebody passing through another chatzer?
Okay. So, once again, because I set it up the way I'm doing, I'm basically giving away the answer, but that's basically going to be the answer. So, Amar Marvin, Marvin Osol Lachatzana, I'm sorry, Lo Amar Nela Larka, Velo Rachva Marvin, Keman Deloka Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara now wonders out loud, would Rabbi Akiva be happy with this? Apparently not. Because Rabbi Akiva says that that regel, meaning those people in the inner chatzar, are like they're living in the outer chatzar. And so therefore, those people in the outer chatzar, if they want to make a bona fide eruv, they're going to have to include the inner chatzar. And if they don't, the eruv is not good. Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, leave Rabbi Akiva out of our discussion. Because ad kan lo kama Rabbi Akiva asam ela b'shtei chaser zulef nimizu de penimis leis lepes chachrina. Yeah, in the case of inner and outer chatzer, so as I described just a moment ago, the inner chatzer is landlocked. They literally have no way, no egress, no way of getting out unless they walk out through the outer chatzer. So now, just by simple default, they are considered part of the memberships. They're considered like, you know, residents of the outer chatzar. But over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about one city. We're talking about now making a break in the city, not lengthwise, but crosswise, and basically saying, here, you're right, you're the east side of the city, you're the west side of the city. Well, I guess I'll make some sort of legalized division in the middle, and never the twain should meet. Rabbi Akiva would be fine with that. Each one of them has a way of escaping. In other words, there is access and egress for either side of the city, so Rabbi Akiva wouldn't have a problem with that. The only time that Rabbi Akiva considers regel to be a resident is in the case of inner and outer chatzar. Okay, good. Straightforward discussion. Again, straightforward once you know all the background information, but pretty straightforward discussion. Now, according to our second version of our discussion, and Danny, this may appeal better to you. The second version of the discussion is you can't divide the city, neither lengthwise nor crosswise. So, Keman Karabi Akiva, so the Gemara says, I know that position. That position must be Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva says that once there's regel, once the people have to pass through another part of town, they're considered a residence of the other part of town. So I can't take a city and just simply divide the city because don't I have regel? So the Gemara says it must be then, based on this analysis, that the author of this braisa is Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, no, again, you don't have to go there. Look, with the Chachamim over there saying that And again, we're now talking about the sheet of the Chachamim, not Rabbi Kiva. When the Chachamim say that I have an exterior and an interior, and the Chachamim say that either one of them can make their own independent Eruv, even the outer Chatzar can make an Eruv independent of the inner Chatzar, how can they do that? I know this is going to sound funny. Achta Ladasha Umishtamsha. Because they basically can close the door of the inner Chatzar and say, guys, I don't know what you're going to do this particular Shabbos, but you'll figure it out. Right? But in other words, we're closing the door. It's our Chatzar. We're closing the door. Now, I know it generates questions of, do they have the right to do that? It, by design, isn't it clear that the inner Chatzar needs an egress to get out? A fire hazard? I don't know if that's a legitimate question. In halacha? No, it is. It is. Anyway, so achla ladasha mishtamsha. Ava acha mimatz masaka rishos rabbi me'acha. Over here, however, nobody can excuse themselves from the rishos rabbim. Meaning, we have a street in the middle of town. And now, who has the right to close the door? Answer? Nobody. It's the street. It's the town street. So now nobody has the right to close the door. So I cannot simply say, look, you know, we'll shut down this section of the street. We'll stay on this side, you stay on that side, meaning no one has the right to do that. And so therefore, you can't divide a city in half, not lengthwise, not crosswise. Okay, so we have two versions of how this discussion went. The first version has it that perhaps there's this ability to not cut a city lengthwise, that's what the Braisa says, but maybe cut the city crosswise. According to the second version, neither. You can't cut it lengthwise, you can't cut it crosswise. The street is the public thoroughfare. It is for public usage. Nobody can cut off the street. And so therefore, everyone needs a street, and the city is going to be made with one Erev or no Erev. Okay. Amar Mar. Okula o mavoi bifnei atzma. Now, finally, the last part of the Braisa is, how are we going to make an Erev around the city? Again, let's remember. It's an Irshal Yachid, which means that we can make one Erev for everybody. How are we going to make an Erev for everybody? So the Braisa ends off by saying, either one Erev or every Mavui to themselves. Every Mavui to themselves, what? So the Gemara says, Maishan de la Chatzayim de la Odasri Hadade, Mavui, Mavui Nami Asri Hadade. Well, didn't you just dismiss the idea of dividing the city in half? And if I can't divide the city in half, so then how can everyone make their own Erev for their own Mavui? Again, the Gemara's assumption is that every mavu is spilling right out into the street, and so therefore, again, same issue. Urego. So the Gemara says, well, it's not open access from the mavu into the street. Daka, there are small gateways, right? Fences that are built at each entrance of the mavu. So it's not just simply an open mavu into the street. It's basically just a doorway. V'chi had Amar Avida Bar Av and Amar Av Chista Echem Nimnei Mavui Sha'asa Daka L'Pischa Eino Oser Al B'nei Mavui. In fact, we're going to see this, right? We'll see this again? Well, maybe not. Sorry. Anyway, in fact, we know that if I close off my Mavui from the street, in other words, I basically say, our Mavui, for whatever reason, we don't want to be part of the larger community, and we build basically a gateway in front of our Mavui. We now have and we in South Florida really, we understand this. We now have literally a gated community. So our gated community is not part of the greater city. And so therefore the greater city, if they want to make an Eruv, they don't need us. We're not going to answer on the greater community once we put a gate in front of our community. Okay. Adkan. Haistah Shel Rabim. Now we're up to the next part of the Braisa. Okay, I told you that's why I went back to the beginning of the Braisa today, because really most of the discussion today revolves around this Braisa. Okay, so the beginning of the Braisa talked about an Irshal Yachid. So again, the basic points of the Irshal Yachid is that you can make one Erev for everybody. You can't divide in half. Each Mavui can become an independent Mavui, but only if they put a gate in front of their Mavui that separates them from the street. Now, next part of the Braisa, Irshal Rabim. Irshal Rabim, Rabbi Zera, Arva Lamasa Debe, Rabbi Chia, Voloshavik Lushir. And now we're going to get into a lot of good discussion today about what the halacha is. Meaning, as we now know, we have an Irshal Rabim, people have to be excluded from the Irshal Rabim. So we discussed in the beginning of the Shir today, okay, it's a requirement so that nobody forgets this whole idea of Eruv and carrying, and so therefore there has to necessarily be an exclusion. Rabbi Zera made an Erev for the town of Rabbi Chia, and he left no exclusion. Nobody was excluded from the Erev. So Amalei Abaye my time Avad Marachi. So Abaye says, okay, and no, that's not the halacha, meaning it's an Irsha Rabim, there needs to be an exclusion. So how come you did that? So Amalei Sabi Dida. Amrili, Rav Chia Bar Asi, Ma'ariv Kulu, Ve'amina Shemamina, Yisho Yachiv Nasa Sharabimi. Oh, so my assumption is that based on a report that I received, that this is really Nir Shoyachid, which then converted to Nir Shoyachid, but as we learned back in our Mishnah, and as we learned in the beginning of this morning, that doesn't matter. Meaning, once the city started as a Nir Shoyachid, it continues to be an Nir Shoyachid, and it doesn't lose its status of a Nir Shoyachid, even though it becomes a Rabbin. So Amrulei Ledidi Amrulei Hanusave Hayi Ashba Havalei Bechagisa Vahasha Daftilei Ashba Havalei Kishne Psachim Vaser. So the Gemara says you misunderstood. The reason why the original Erev was made with no exclusion is because, and remember we talked about this also earlier this morning, if exception to the rule. Rule is that when I have a city inertial rabbim, there has to be people excluded. Exception to the rule, if there's only one entrance into town and there's no thoroughfare, it doesn't go all the way through town and there are no two entrances, so then I don't need an exclusion. The only time I need an exclusion is if there's two entrances. So what happened originally, it's not you're wrong. It's not an Irshal Yachid that becomes the Rabbim. This was always an Irshal Rabbim. However, there was only one entrance in town. What about the other entrance? Blocked up. Blocked.
This is not just a religion of the Rabbin.
Yes. Yes, it was blocked up by a garbage pile. And what ended up happening is garbage heap was removed, and now it has two entrances in and out of town. And now that has two entrances in and out of town, so now it's an Irshal Rabbim, and now people need to be excluded. So Amalei Lava Daite. Okay, so the end of the discussion is, I didn't know that. Now that I know that, thank you for telling me. Okay, now people have to be excluded. Okay, so Gemara tells us, I'm sorry. Okay, good. All right, we'll come back to the Yirshal Rabbim and Yirshal Yachid in just a moment. Now the Gemara is going to have a discussion. Again, all this really is not, none of this has to do with Erev Tchum. This is all Erev Chatzer, but the discussion coming up now in the Gemara, very interesting discussion. A wall separates, right? We all know that, right? We've learned that from day one of Erev, and I have a wall is going to separate. So if I have a Chatzer, and there's a wall between the two Chatzeros, so that wall separates the two Chatzeros, and each one is going to make their own Erev. Can they make a joint Erev? The answer is going to be no. If there's a Pesach in the Chatzer, opening up from one Chatzer to another Chatzer, so then we can have a discussion of maybe making one joint Erev. In fact, not a discussion, but yes, they can make one joint Erev. But if I have a wall separating them, so then no, then they're two separate Chatzeros. What if I have the following? And this discussion will take us for like the next 10, 15 minutes. What if I have a wall, but there's a way of climbing over the wall? How so? I put a ladder right up against the wall. So in other words, I have a wall with a ladder. Now, as we're going to learn, that ladder can be viewed as a Pesach. Okay? Not, of course, the safest Pesach. A safe Pesach would be simply a hole in the wall. But nevertheless, with the ladder, I can jump from one side of the wall to the other side of the wall by going up and down in the ladder.
Does it matter how tall the wall is?
No. Doesn't matter. Meaning because once I have a way of accessing from one side to the other through the ladder, so that's it. So the ladder now becomes the Pesach.
Okay.
So basically now, the discussion that we're going to have over the course of the next 10, 15 minutes is going to be the following. A ladder basically can represent a Pesach and a wall. Okay? Does that mean the ladder actually becomes a Pesach? Meaning, to what degree are we going to say that that ladder now serves as a Pesach, perhaps even becomes a Pesach? Right? That's going to be the Gemara's discussion. We'll start the discussion. I mean, I'm just going to follow along in the Gemara, but the Gemara starts the discussion over here. What if I have the following? What if I have, again, remember we talked now about this halacha that I need to exclude people from the Erev, but that's only if there are two entrances and exits from the city. If there's only one entrance and exit from the city, so then no one needs to be excluded. Good. What if I have the following? What if on one side of the city I have a regular entrance exit, okay, an opening, and on the other side of the city I have a ladder that'll allow me to climb over the wall? So is that ladder now considered its second Pesach of the city? So the Gemara says, Pesach mikan, sulam mikan, Pesach mikan mau. Amar lehachi amar Rav, sulam toras Pesach alav. So Rav says, well, what do you mean? I'm sorry. Using Rav, the Gemara says, what do you mean? A sulam is a Pesach. So if a sulam is a Pesach, so how many openings do we have to the city? Two. Is there now a requirement to leave somebody out, some people out of the Erev? Yes. Good. So Amar Lehu, Rav Nachman, Lo Tatzit Sulei. So Rav Nachman says, pay no attention to what was just said. Hachi Amar Rav Ada, Amar Rav Sulem, Toras Pesach Alav, V'Toras Mechitza Alav. A ladder is a hybrid. A ladder, meaning a, when we say a ladder, we mean a wall with a ladder. A wall with a ladder is a hybrid. It really dances at two parties. And number one is a wall, and number two, it's a Pesach. It's both. Now,
make it the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and that's exactly the point. Meaning, and in terms of halacha, whatever, however it best serves us, that's how we're going to look at it. Toras mechitz alav kedamar, and toras Pesach alav, besulan shemein shtei chatzer, ratzu echa merav, ratzu shnei ma'arvin. It gets the best of both worlds. Meaning, if it's better for us to say it's a mechitza, hey, it's a mechitza. Meaning, so we have a city, and there's one entrance into the city, one real entrance into the city, and there's another way for people to get out. There's a fire escape, if you will. There's a ladder for people to get out. Good. But that's not going to mean it's a Pesach. Meaning, in terms of halacha, that's still considered a wall. There's only one entrance and exit to the city. Therefore, no one has to be excluded. However, it also can benefit us. If I have two chatzeros that are next to one another, contiguous to one another, a wall is dividing these two chatzeros, and there's a ladder allowing people to go from one chatzer to the other chatzer, they can make one erev if they want to. Meaning in that regard, we're going to look at the sulam and say, the sulam now is a Pesach. So however it best serves us, that's how we're going to look at a wall with a ladder.
Is there a shear for the rungs of the ladder? So the distance between them, that's it.
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, the basic point is, I mean, the basic point is going to be access. Okay, so Taurus Pesach Alav, Taurus Mechitz Alav, Taurus Mechitz Alav, I'm sorry, I did that. Shemayim Ratzu Echamar, Ratzu Shemayim Arvin. Umi Amar Rav Nachman Hachi. Now remember, it was Rav Nachman who stated very clearly, don't pay no attention, a wall with a ladder is really both. It's really a sulam, it's really a mechitza, it's really a Pesach. It's just a question of how best is it service. The Gemara points out, however, I will say the following. Rav Nachman seems to be inconsistent because we're in the very last line of the Testament base. V'am Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Anshei Chasev, Anshei Mir Pesach, Sheshachachu V'lo Irvu. I have courtyard and Mir Pesach. It's funny, you live in Israel for a while. Balcony. Okay, right. Everyone in Israel has a mirpeset. I mean, just you know, that's the way Israel's designed. But so you have a courtyard and you have a balcony. Meaning, basically, I have people living. It's a two-floor house, two-story house. I have people living in that second story, and how do they get down? Now, nowadays, we have something called stairs in the house. In the good old days, so they didn't have stairs in the house, but rather, if they wanted to leave the house, they would go to the mirpeset, they would go to the balcony, and from the balcony, they would have a ladder descending down from the balcony so that they can now go into the chatzer. Okay. So, I have anshei chatzer, anshei mirpeset, sheshach chuchu v'lo irvu. Okay.
It has to be joined.
Or in other words, right now, the configuration in our case over here is that they're all, the two-story building is in one chatzer. And so now what happened is the following. Every given Shabbos, what they need to do is they need to make one singular Erev. Good. They forgot. The members of the Chatzer and the members of the second story forgot to make one singular Chatzer. Im yesh lifneem daka arba'a ein osteres ve'im lav osra. And the story goes like this. The people on the Merpeset have a ladder, as I mentioned just a moment ago, that allows them to descend and to go down into the chatzer. So what that ladder is called in halacha is a Pesach. Good. That's what it is. So now if it's a Pesach, so basically what I have over here is I have two groups of people all accessing the same chatzer. Now, the basic halacha is going to be is that they really need to make one Erev. However, if there's a daka, now this is kind of hard to describe, a picture will be helpful. Basically, it's a gate built in front of the ladder. So almost like a tzuras ha-pesach, almost like a door frame built in the front of the ladder. In front of the ladder, I mean by that, Rashi says, we're talking now at the base of the ladder. If there's a daka, that daka basically says, hey, the members of the merpeset and the member of the chaser are divided. It's ki'ilu, it's as if I have two chaseres which are next to one another with a wall between them and a doorway, where basically if they want to, they could be one, and if they want to, they could be divided. By us placing this daka, this door frame at the base of the ladder, basically, halachically now, we're basically dividing the two. Good. Here's what bothers the Gemara.
Is that to your advantage, though?
It could be to advantage. In other words, the advantage would be that the members of the ground level don't have to make an Erev together with the people up top. Okay, right. Okay. Fine. What bothers the Gemara is, but wait a second, Rav Nachman. Just like about three lines ago in the Gemara, did you not say that a ladder could be viewed as a Pesach, but a ladder could also be viewed as a wall? Meaning, why do I need the Daka? Can't we just simply say that the ladder is a wall in this particular case? Meaning, if it serves us to say that it's a wall, so let's just call it a wall and be done with it. So the Gemara says, "Eino says v'im lav says hachem b'maiskinon b'dalo gavot mirpesas sasara." So the Gemara says, "You know what? Your point is very well taken. In this particular scenario, the people in the mirpeset, you know, we have this picture of the first floor going up. I don't know, let's say 10 feet high. The second floor above that. In this particular scenario, the people in the mirpeset, their mirpeset was just 9 short tefachim off the ground." Not much of a merpeset. I mean, really, you don't get much of a view from standing from this merpeset. You're basically 2 feet off the ground, basically. And because of that, because they're not 10 tefachim off the ground, so how do you now want to view this? As a wall? We know minimum height of a wall has to be 10 tefachim, so therefore the merpeset cannot be subdivided, right, separated off from the rest of the chaser. So the Gemara says, if you're right, if you're right, so hachem b'maiskinon d'lo gavor mirpesasara, the e lo gavor mirpesasara ki kaave daka mayhave. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, what do we say? Well, we built this little source of pesach at the base of the ladder. Who cares? Meaning, isn't this particular marpeset going to automatically be considered part of the rest of the chatzer by virtue of the fact that it's not even 10 tefachim off the ground? So the Gemara's answer is, b'megufefes ad eser amos. B'megufefes ad eser amos. Okay, so we're going to now add more layers of stuff, of dimensions to this case. The case is where, yes, the marpeset itself is within 10 tefachim of the ground, but there is a wall constructed around the merpeset. The wall constructed around the merpeset is a tall wall, and it only leaves 10 amos. I'm now talking about the entrance. It only leaves less than 10 amos at the entrance, so basically now it's a walled-off merpeset separate from the rest of the chatzer. So now, kika ave daka, And now basically we're dealing with a mirpeset that's within 10 tefachim of the ground. But because it has a wall around the mirpeset, now it's viewed as basically a separate entity. And by placing a daka, that little fence, that little source of pesach at the base of the ladder, they're basically displaying to the rest of the chatzer, we're separate from you. We're not part of you. You want to make your own Erev. We want to make our own Erev. Why they want to do that? Well, for whatever reason. But in other words, that's the scenario over here. Okay. All right, that was complicated. And again, if you have pictures, by the way, it'll be very helpful just to see it all. I'm Rav Yehuda Shmuel Kosher Sheratzva B'Sulam Asafilu B'Yasser Me'Yasser Taras Mechitza Alav Dami. I'm sorry. Taras Mechitza Alav. Okay, more about the wall and the ladder. Again, A wall with a ladder, let's go back to Rav Nachman's point, which the Gemara basically defends. A wall with a ladder is really two things. It's a wall, and it's the Pesach. So the Gemara says, let me ask you this question. How about this? How about basically we have a wall, and it's lined with ladders. Okay? Ladder, ladder, ladder. And each ladder is next to one another. Now, if we really viewed each ladder as a Pesach, and I have a line of ladders in a row, and let's say the line of ladders extend greater than 10 amos. So what should we have? What we should have is a pirtza. We should have a breach in the wall. In other words, can't we view the ladders as a breach? And the Gemara is going to quote Shmuel and basically answers no. Again, because we keep going back to Rav Nachman's point. It's both, it's twofold. It's both a Pesach and it's a wall. So you cannot look at it as a pirtza.
I mean, but if it was to your advantage, you could look at it as a breach, no? If it was to your advantage.
Yeah, I understand that, but it would almost never, you have to be creative to try to figure out how it would help you, but it's almost never considered an advantage to have a breach in the wall. So the Gemara challenges this conversation that takes place in the wine house, in the olive press. But here we have Rav Nachman quoting Shmuel. And here we go now. We're going to basically review the entire discussion that we just had regarding the Merpeset. I'm going to go through this quickly. So again, in the discussion, we again review the idea that the Merpeset is not 10 tefachim off the ground. So the Gemara says, okay, if it's so good, so if it's not 10 tefachim off the ground, so what difference did it make that I had this little source of Pesach in front of the ladder, at the base of the ladder? B'megufafos, there are walls around the merpeset. Ad eser amos tekem davidaki, istaluke istaluke mehacha. Fine. Okay, so again, same discussion. Basically, what comes out from all this discussion, finishing up now the Gemara's discussion of a wall with a ladder. A wall with a ladder is still fundamentally a wall, but the ladder can serve as a Pesach. And if it works to our advantage, we're going to view it as a Pesach. However, if it doesn't work to our advantage, we will not view it as a Pesach.
Is it a requirement that there needs to be a passage once you get on top of the ladder to go someplace?
Access. It allows basic access. Okay. Hanu b'nei kukanai da'asa l'kame de Rav Yosef. Okay, members of a particular city went in front of Rav Yosef. Amrulei havlan na'agavar de la'arav lan masan. Okay, look, we have a brand new community, fledgling community. We're out of town. And we want to make an Erev. So could you send a Rav over and help us build an Erev? Okay? That's pretty much how the story goes with all new communities around the country. They call somebody up and said, help us build an Erev. Here in Boca, by the way, you know one of the first Rabbanim helped us set up the Erev? So Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Rabbi Blumenkrantz, helped us design our Erev over here. So okay, good. So they called the Rav. So Amrle La Abaye Zil Arev Lahu V'Chazi Delo Mitzavach Allah Bevei Midrasha. So who was commissioned? Abaye. But here he was given a task which one could argue was an impossible task. I want you to make an error for this community, but I also want it so that nobody complains. Okay. Simple. So it's interesting to be fair. It says the lo kamitzavach ala bevei midrasha. Right? No one in the base measure should complain. Meaning should halachically sound and stable erev. Azol chazalanu bate de pischal in nahara. And so now he goes into the town and he sees now. Again, let's go over what's in the context of our whole discussion, what's going through Abai's mind right now. What's going through Abai's mind is that it's an Irshal Rabin. It's a public city. Okay? Like we learned in our Mishnah, there needs to be an exclusion. In other words, it cannot make one error for everybody, so people need to be excluded. Now, there's a great line, and I don't know who to give proper attribution to, but I don't, you know, any club that wants me as a member, right? Groucho Marx, right? Any club that wants to that would allow me as a member, I don't want to be a member of that club. So in other words, part of the idea of exclusion is is that it's at least somebody who at least potentially could be a member, right? In other words, we have this halacha. It's a funny halacha, but it's a halacha that you can't make one error for everybody, so people have to be excluded. Well, I can't. Let me make this absurd just to make the point. In other words, I'll say, you know who I'm going to exclude? All right, one state away from us, one country away from us. There's those people. Let's exclude them. Like, that's not exclusion. Exclusion has to be people living in this very community. So now, basically, that was an absurd scenario. But now let's make this a much more nuanced discussion. How about people living in the city who, for whatever reason, can't become part of the Eruv? And I say we're going to exclude them. Is that going to be considered an exclusion? Okay, so this is basically now what is going through Abaye's mind. He sees a great opportunity to exclude people who, quite frankly, already are out. So this is where it's going to get a little... it's going to get a little difficult. So, Hanabata de Pitzchal and Nahara. So there were people who were living beachfront property, right? They were right at the living right by the intercoastal. So Amar Hani Lahavi Shir Lamasa. So he points to these people. And he says they're going to be the exclusion. They're going to be excluded from the Eruv. Now, frankly, they already are excluded from the Eruv, meaning that their houses open up to the side of the intercoastal. Their houses, and I guess by virtue of that, in other words, they just simply have no way of accessing the other part of the community. So the truth of the matter is that they're already excluded. But what Abaye would like to do is say, for the purposes of our halacha, daf nun tesen, daf samach and erevin, for the purpose of our halacha, let's exclude them from the Eruv. So how do Amrei Marvin is kula tanan mechlaldi by leiruve matze ma'arve. So but then Abaye says to himself, we're going to have an entire conversation, by the way, between Abaye and Abaye. Literally, the Gemara is going to take us through the thought process of Abaye. Then Abaye says, no, that's not going to work. Meaning, if I'm going to exclude them, that means that at least potentially they have to be able to be included. Ale avelu kave di by leiruve der chalonos matze ma'arve. So here's what I need to do. I need to make them at least eligible for inclusion and then exclude them. So what I'll do is, I'll do a little construction work. They have walls separating their houses from the rest of the city. I'll make holes in the walls, which obviously will not please them, obviously. But in other words, I have to satisfy this halacha of exclusion. So I at least have to make them eligible for inclusion and then exclude them. How do Amalu by the Harava Baravua Ma'ariv Lula Kula Mechuza Arsiasa Mishum Pera de Beiture de Chochad Vechad Havishir Lechavre? The Gemara says, oh, but wait a second. Let me go to another case study. Meaning, again, this is Abaye continuing having a conversation with himself. So he says, oh, but wait a second. I remember once in the town of Mechuza, they made Eruvs. Arsiasa. Each community by itself made its own Eruv. Why? Because Pera de Beiture, because there were rows of food for the oxen, which separated each part of the town. And by virtue of that, every part of the town became a shear, an exclusion to the other part. Now, because they were separated by these walls, now, whatever, walls of fruit, whatever the case is. Because they were separate from one another, they couldn't make an Eruv for one another. So in other words, you see from that case study that even though they were not eligible to make one Eruv, I still can view them as exclusions for one another. So Hadar Amar Lo Dami. Then Abaye continues this conversation with himself and he says, now that's not a good case study. Because Asami by La Ruva Der Kagos Vahani Lama Arve. So then he says, yeah, but over there, even in that case, they had rooftops that were contiguous to one another. So there was a way to unify everybody together, and by virtue of the fact that they made separate Eruvin, that's why they're excluding one another, because at least they were eligible to make an Eruv together through the contiguous rooftops. Hilchach Navde Kave. So now I'm at the point where I'm drilling the holes between us and the people who are living intercoastal, so that at least they could be eligible to be included in the Eruv, which now allows me to exclude them and satisfy this halach of exclusion. Wow. And it goes on. The conversation goes on. Harder Arme Kave Nami Lo Baye. No, I'm not gonna make these windows. Why? Dahu Beitivna the Havale Lamar Bar Pupidasa Mi Pumpadisa. Best tongue twister of the day. Vishav Yashir Le Pumpadisa. So basically, I also know another case study where there was a community and they were making an Eruv, and it was an Irshal Rabim, and there needed to be an exclusion. People need to be excluded. And a storehouse, a warehouse, was used as the exclusion. Amar Hainu Damar Limar, fine. And so Abai says, if the warehouse is going to serve as an exclusion, I can look at these beachfront houses and leave it as it is and not bore holes through the window, and they can be viewed as exclusions as well. Okay, I don't understand. In other words, I almost understood every step of the conversation that he was having with himself. This last step over here is a little bit strange, meaning why should it be that a warehouse can serve as an exclusion, right? Which presumably it's not residential. And furthermore, how did he then go from, well, if a warehouse is a good exclusion, so then these beachfront houses are also a good exclusion as well. So Rashi at least starts the
The warehouse maybe couldn't be included in the first place, so these houses also...
Okay, so Rashi starts off the discussion. Da'u Beitivna. Rashi's four lines down as the lines get wide. So Rashi writes, so first of all, maybe Rashi's addressing all this by saying the following. We're going to learn later on this morning, I doubt that, but we're going to try at least, to learn later on this morning that the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. Meaning Rabbi Shimon is the one back in the Mishnah who said that you need, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that you need 50 residents excluded. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it doesn't have to be residents. It just has to be chatzeres which are excluded. So in other words, the exclusion is not going on people, the exclusion is going on structure. That's the machlokas in the Mishnah. And because we're going to, in just a moment, take a strong stand on who the halacha follows like, i.e. the halacha follows like Rabbi Shimon, not Rabbi Yehuda, so therefore a warehouse can serve as an exclusion. So what Abai now is arguing is that if the warehouse can serve as an exclusion, these beachfront properties, who are not really connected to the rest of the city, also could serve as an exclusion as well. Okay. I realize that this has been a very complicated discussion in the Gemara over here. Right, let's all commit. Let's go over it again today, at one point again. Right, press play on the tape again. So, Amar Hayna D'Amar Limar, Chazid Dolam Esavta Chalab Be'Mei Medrasha. And Abai says, and oh, by the way, check. Meaning my instructions were, make an Erev and make sure no one fights. I did it. Meaning, I was able to convincingly make an Eruv, and I didn't have to structurally change anything in the city in order to do so, and so therefore, he was given a check for the day. Okay, let's just quickly wrap up. In other words, I'd like to get to the Mishnah, and basically the discussion coming up now in the Gemara is, who does the halacha follow like? So, Amalei Imken Asachutz Lakir Chadasha Tanya Amrav Yehuda Ir Achaz Haisab Yehuda. There was a city in Yehuda, V'Chadasha Shma. In fact, the name of the city was actually called Chadasha. V'ayibay Nundiyur Menashim V'Nashim V'Tav. Okay, made up of a total population of 50. Big city. 50 people. What's it called? I have cousins living in Eretz Yisrael. They're wonderful people. So they live in a town called Carmel. You never heard of it. You know Carmel, by the way, up in north. But they live in a town. It's in the Judean Valley. It's south of Hebron. So total population of the city, 200. Okay, it's a real small town. Uvahayu Misharin Chachamim Vehi Aisa Shir. And so the Chachamim said, good, that's the exclusion. Again, all this is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ibailu Chadash Amahu, Chadash Kehech, Diyu Avishir, Lagdol, Lagdol, Anami Avishir, Lakitana. So the Gemara says, first of all, what if I have a city and I did make the proper exclusion of leaving 50 people out? Do they need their own exclusion? The Gemara says, of course not. Meaning, just like they're an exclusion to the larger part of town, the larger part of town also becomes an exclusion for them as well. Ela Kein Chadash Amahu. Gemara says, but what if you have a town like Chadasha, where the total population is 50? Do they need an exclusion? So Ravuna Rav Yehuda, Chanamar Baishir, V'Chanamar Lo Baishir. So the Gemara brings a debate about this very issue. What if the town is tiny, with a total population of 50? The halach is, debate in the Gemara, but the the Rambam sides with the position that it does not require an exclusion. Rabbi Shimon Amar Gimel Chatzeres Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav Halachik Rabbi Shimon. Okay, and finally, the Gemara on this question of who do we need to exclude? Machlokas in our Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara takes the position, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Afilu Bais Echad VeChatzer Echad. So the Gemara then quotes the position Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says one house. One house, one courtyard. Now, if you think about it, where did he get that from? Meaning in our Mishnah, your two choices are 50 residents, that's Rabbi Yehuda, or right, three chatzeras, right, Rabbi Shimon. He's saying now one house, one courtyard. Now, first the Gemara just tidies up his statement. Chatzer achas agadach ela'ima bais echad bichatzer achas. All I need is one house and one courtyard. So Amalei by the Rabbi Yosef had the Rabbi Yitzchak Gemara Svara. Where do you get that from? Was it a tradition? Was it logical? Well, how do you get that? Amalei man nafka lachmina. So gives him. So Amalei man nafka lachmina. So he says, well, what difference does it make? So Amalei, we've seen this line in the Gemara countless times. Gemara gamar zemurta tehei. When you learn Gemara, what are you doing? You're singing a song? Meaning, when you say over Gemara, you just say it? Well, you no thought, no analysis, no thinking. You just say it? Meaning, the Rabbi Yitzchak has a position. One courtyard, one house. Where did he get that from? And is it based on a logical analysis? Meaning, it's not enough to just simply say it. There has to be some understanding that goes behind it. And if you don't have understanding behind it, that's not considered learning. Okay, Adkan, we finished the entire discussion. So again, the whole discussion started back on Nuntesamid Aleph, a question of when you're making an error for an Irshal Rabbim, you cannot have one error for the entire city, there has to be an exclusion. Machlokas Tanaim, in terms of who exactly we're going to exclude, not who, but how many people are going to be excluded, is it a question of residence versus structure? Okay, and a long discussion today regarding how exactly does this exclusion work. Abaye was commissioned to make an Eruv. He needed to make an exclusion, and he successfully made an exclusion with people who, quite frankly, were already excluded, and the Gemara talked about how that worked as well. Okay, Ad Kan. Continue Refuah Shleima 4, Binyamin Zevakon Ben Sharon Rivka 4, Falls Like Avram Ben Yakir Avigail, Ilui Nishmas Rav Yaakov Ben Yosef.